All right, Philippians chapter number 2. I'm going to pick it back up in verse number 3, and I'm going to read through a few verses here, and we're going to continue on. We talked a little bit about murmuring and complaining, and a little bit about humility. Humility prevents humiliation. I would say the opposite of humility is pride. Would you agree with that? Pride is usually the greatest distance or the longest distance between two people. Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Pride cares about who's right. Humility cares about what's right. So when you find the Lord making this statement in verse number, just come down to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now, if I find the Lord humbles himself, then that causes me to immediately stop and think, if the Lord comes down here in all of his glory and learns some things by humbling himself, it's probably something we should spend a smidgen of time on. Sure. Look in Psalms chapter number 10. Pride's unwilling to wait for God to act. It's always in a hurry. Rushes in, takes matters into its own hands. Gets ahead of God. Pride is impatient. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Quick, quick, quick. Fast, fast, fast. What I want it now. We want to pray and we want God to answer it now. That's thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The Bible gives us a caution. Let's look at a few verses on that. You remember in Ezekiel chapter number 28, he said, thou wast the anointed cherub that covered, and thou wast beauty, and so on and so forth, until iniquity was found in thee, and thou wast lifted up in thine own heart. He said in Isaiah 14, he said, I will ascend above the stars, I will be like the Most High, I will set my throne. I, that's the center letter in the word pride. Pride would be what created the problem for the devil. The devil coveted something because of his pride. He wanted something more than what God had given him. Now, if you stop and think about it, and all things being considered equal, the devil was basically second in command. The Lord was in command of the heavens, and he gave the devil command over the earth, and the devil wasn't happy with just that. Ambition that's out of control is usually related to pride. And pride is something that everybody struggles with, every one of us. Pride is generally very touchy. It has a tendency, when you take a look at things that have to do with pride, are you in Psalms 10? You have a problem with pride. Pride generally has a tendency to be real touchy. It's easily offended. It gets upset pretty easy. It finds fault with others easy. Psalm chapter number 10, verse number 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride, verse number 4, of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. You know what he just said right there? He said that individual is an individual who's lifted up in his own pride. And he's, you know what he says? He says, I'm going to get what I want. I see it my way and I don't see it anybody else's way. And the Lord says he abhors that. Look, if you will, in Psalms chapter number 138. Psalms 138. I'll continue that verse in the book of Psalms. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. For all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Now, obviously, those are pictures or types of the Antichrist. But wouldn't you say that that is also a great picture of an individual who's overwhelmed with pride? Psalms 138, look if you will please in verse number 5. Make it 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. In other words, if I want to put distance between me and the Lord, all I have to do is be prideful. The Lord says that's an abomination to him. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Oftentimes, one of the problems is pride becomes very possessive. like it owns everything, like it has control of everything. It came up with something nobody else had, and it protects everything because it wants it always. You come to it for whatever it is you're looking for because you're the it. It resides in the ego. If I would say a modern term of let go of your ego, it would be let go of your ego. You have a tendency to, I own this. I possess this. This is mine. You come to me if you want anything. That's control. And when you do that stuff, that's completely opposite of the Lord. Proverbs chapter number 6, the Bible says this. Is that what the Lord does for you? I don't believe it is. Six things that the Lord hates, verse number 16, yea, seven, are an abomination to Him. The first one on there is a proud look. Now we're studying pride if you just came in. We're looking at what pride is and we're looking at what pride isn't. Nowadays you're taught this, and it should be a clue to you. You're talking about this LGBT. I keep getting it confused with BLT, like bacon lunch. LG, the queer community, the trannies, all that kind of stuff. Gay what? Now that should tell you something as a Christian. As a Christian, when you're walking around pride and proudful, you're taking on the attributes of the devil. They're saying to be proud of an attribute that is contrary to how God made you. God made you to man to love a woman, not a man to love a man, or a woman to love a woman, or an animal, or to change the gender, or you got all the new stuff that's going around now. And nobody wants to put a stop to it because it's like, well, you should be proud of who you are. You shouldn't be proud of who you are if you're a thief or a murderer. You shouldn't be proud of who you are if you're a robber or a rapist. And you shouldn't be proud if what you're doing is contrary to the Bible and nature. They make you to be the bad guy. Well, you know, you should be proud of that. No, you shouldn't. You should be ashamed of that. You see, nowadays that you should be proud of your sin. Be proud and be so proud when you come in and a church preaches the contrary to what you're doing that you feel guilty about. Oh, you shouldn't do it. You should be proud that you're independent. You should be proud that you're a rebel. You should be proud that you're a maverick. You should be proud that you don't fall in line. That proudness, that pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction is what the Bible says. Amen. Well, if that's true, then, ladies and gentlemen, if pride is what got the devil in trouble, shouldn't we be cautious about it? Amen. You show me one place where Jesus Christ threw out his chest and said, "Do you know who I am? Why, I made every molecule, I made every RNA, DNA strand. I know things about the universe you can't even imagine. Why, you don't." He never did that. He humbled himself. Amen. He came down here, walked in the body of a human being. I can't even still get my mind around that. I think one of the most miraculous things in all of the Bible that is a showstopper for me is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Not that I have any problem with Him being virgin born. The fact that God, who inhabits eternity, confined Himself to a human body and stayed 9 months for gestation in a human body and then came out as a little baby and then dwelt as a baby and then grew up. That blows my mind. Yep. That blows my mind more than the Trinity. I get more about the Trinity than I do about Him staying in the body of a baby and confining Himself from speaking, confining Himself from feeling, confining Himself from teaching anybody else. I can't grab a hold of that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I get that. I mean, at least a little bit of that. But Him confining Himself like that and growing up like you so He could understand you and go through temptation and trial so He could understand you and be your mediator, that blows my mind, man. I can't imagine. If He's God, why didn't He just infuse how it must feel like to be a human being? He had experienced it. Doesn't that kind of make you chew on your tongue or something? I mean, here's God, and all of a sudden He comes down there and He's in a womb swimming around in embryonic fluid and stuff like that. And then the baby comes and born into a manger there. And when He pops out there, the angelic host are singing and stuff like that. That's God and that baby. He's looking up at angels. He said, "Oh, I remember seeing y'all 9 months ago when I left up there." But He can't say nothing to them. He's just looking at them like a baby. He's not communicating with them. He's just looking at them. "Well, look at that. The angel's up there. I wonder what that is." He doesn't know He's a baby. Mary says, "Come here, Jesus. Are you hungry?" He's never been hungry before. "Jesus, are you sleepy? Why are you crying, Jesus? Are your diapers wet?" Jesus, what's the matter? How come you're so fussy and all that? You have a little gas? What's the matter with you, Jesus? Jesus, put that down. Jesus, put that down. Don't be handling that. That's sharp. It'll cut you. You get the mistaken idea that Jesus comes around and he's growing up and at 3 years of age, he's walking around like a little god or something. No, he's a baby. He humbled himself. He prevented himself from turning on his godly attributes. In spite of what the Mormons and everybody else try to teach you about that thing, he grew up like you. Can you get a hold of that? That as they think, that purple stuff comes out of your head or whatever it is. That blows my mind. I can't get my head around that to think that he did that. And then to sit there after he's gone through 3.5 years of walking on the earth and have his creation nail him to a tree. Like they're in control of him.
Right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if a being like that can humble himself and say, I need to be the exact opposite of me as a proud, boastful, arrogant, I own everything, I'm touchy about everything individual, I need to err on the side of being more like him.
Amen.
Look, if you will, please, Proverbs, he says, yea, 6 things that the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination to him, a proud look. Well, if the Bible's right, ladies and gentlemen, then you know what you'll find out? You'll find out that as out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the proud look comes from an individual who's got a proud heart. Look in Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Pride's real hard to spot sometimes. Pride will do something like this. Pride will say, well, I went to the altar today and I confessed that I was proud. I must be a pretty good person because I confessed I was proud. As soon as you nail pride, you know what it does? It morphs into something else that looks good for you. Pride is what we're talking about. Pride is that's the fault finding in other people. You constantly see the lack of skills in other people. You know what you're really saying? They don't do it like I do it. So they're wrong and I'm right. Pride, that thing, that ownership, that possessiveness, that fault-finding kind of a mentality, that easily offended. Everybody, you're touchy when you get pride, proudful. You know what happens? You get touchy. Come to your Bible in Proverbs 8, look in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Look what's right after the colon. Look the first thing that shows up. Pride and arrogancy and evil way and froward mouth, do I what? Isn't that pretty strong? The Lord says he hates that. Pride will paint even our ugliest sin to make it beautiful and then find some way to commend itself about it. The only reason most people don't struggle with pride is they don't see pride the way God sees pride. Look, if you will, please, in Proverbs chapter number 11. People that have sickness in their heart, they speak to other people, or you listen to me, with indignation, with contempt, with irritation, frustration, and judgment. That's how they talk to people. They don't see themselves as a fellow worm struggling along in life. They're constantly agitated and irritated by people of what they see as lesser stature. Doesn't the Bible teach you in Philippians chapter 2? I think it's in there where we just went, let each esteem other better than him. That's the opposite of pride. Pride says, I'm better than you. I'm not talking about competitiveness, but you got to be careful about competition. You say, why? Some of you make a competition out of everything. You make a competition, ma'am, with your husband to run him and him run you, and the next thing you know, pride prevents you from backing off, and instead of you having peace in the house, you're going to prove to him, well, he's just wrong. And then you're going to grind it to powder. And the Lord's like, well, why can't you just let it go, lady, if it's that big of a deal? I'll tell you why. God's pointing out your sin of pride. You can't shut up. I've seen arguments like that before, where two guys are arguing, and they get arguing back and forth, and they're not arguing over a row of pins and nothing. It makes a bit of difference in the world, but they won't back off. And the next thing you know, they become permanent enemies, and then they stay that way from then on. You say, what's the root of that? It's pride.
Amen.
It's pride. fault finding with everybody. Proverbs chapter number, 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. You ever notice people that are proud how they're dismissive of other people? They're superficial. They're dismissive because of what they're doing. You ever shake somebody's hand? Come here, Biggin. You ever shake somebody's hand and see them doing this the whole time they're talking to you? Yeah, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. Yeah, it's good. I really appreciate you, man. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah. How you doing? It's like I'm waiting to see all these other people. I'm dismissive. I'm too busy for you. I got too much going on. I you know what that is? That's a sign of pride. That dismissiveness. That arrogancy. That, well, I'll take time to shake your hand, but I really got other things I need to be doing. Oh, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. And if you're doing it, it don't bother you. But when it's done to you, you're like, well, I mean, who do they think they are? Well, maybe the Lord's just showing you a picture of you in the mirror. That harsh, dismissive spirit, that being superficial, that being ultra defensive about everything. Just touchy about everything. Everybody's attacking me. Always somebody, you know what that is? If the Bible's right, that's rooted in pride. Even your insecurities and insufficiencies are rooted in pride. You're looking for appreciation. You're looking for recognition. You're looking for somebody should be doing something, should appreciate me because I'm somebody. And God said, well, I could have made you without eyes. Exodus 4. I could have made you without a mouth. I could have made you with no talent whatsoever. If you're doing all, you're supposed to be doing all the glory of God, not for you're looking to be appreciated or recognized. You see what pride says? Pride says, well, here's recognition for everything you do. I realize the Bible says honor to whom honor's due. I get all of that stuff. But we get out of balance the wrong way with that thing sometimes. You get your behind on your shoulder sometimes, no pun intended, and you get upset because, you know, well, I'm coming there and never said nothing about me coming there. And then that guy comes in, he hadn't been there in 6 months, and they make a big deal out of it. That's the elder brother. What's the matter, cat? Got your tongue? Well, I mean, I'm there all the time, and you have somebody that hadn't been here in 6 months shows up, and I mean, they want to call him down there and throw a party for him. I just don't understand that. Where's my reward for my faithful service? Where's my, I mean, all the time I've been coming, I miss 2 weeks, nobody so much as sends me a card, makes a phone call to me, drops by my house. I guess they just don't appreciate me. You say, what is that? That's pride. Why were you coming in the first place? It must have been for recognition. Why are you so nervous? This is just Sunday school. You're talking about the attributes of the devil. Recognize me. I'm running the planet. Recognize me. I'm over the sons of God. Recognize me. God's like, I made you perfect in beauty. Every precious stone is thy covering, the sardex and the topaz and the onyx and the so on, so the beryl and this and that and the other. I made tabrets and pipes in you so that you could sing. You think you own that? Possessiveness, pride. That's mine. I don't share that with anybody. It's mine. Why? Because I found it. You have to find it. You have to come to me and maybe I'll let you know about it. I've never known a good teacher at all that was that way. A good teacher gets up and they fill their mind with all that kind of stuff. You know what they can't do? They can't dispense it quick enough. They're trying to help other people. They never say, well, when you get up to my level, then you'll unlock the secrets to knowing what I know. That's not Christ-like at all. In Him is the embodiment of everything that anybody could ever know. And what does He do? He's dispensing it. He's dispensing it. He's dispensing it. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, verse 1. False balance, an abomination to the Lord. Just men, just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is... Well, you think you know everything that you think you know, then how come it is if the Bible says with wisdom comes lowliness, then if you're more highly than you think you ought to be, then maybe you don't have as much wisdom as you think you have. Might I say this without intent to offend? That's the know-it-all Christian. Let him that thinketh he knows, what does it say? That thinketh he standeth, be careful lest he also fall. I'm not trying to be hard on you, ladies and gentlemen, but there is something that is completely opposite to God. And if you claim to be the Christian you are, there's a spirit of humility about you. There's not always conflict. If there's always conflict around you, I can tell you where it resides. It resides in pride. Amen. Only by pride cometh contention. Well, that can't be true. They don't understand me. They don't appreciate me. They don't get me. And if they would just get where I'm at, they would be able to. The Lord said, my goodness gracious. Couldn't be you got a pride problem, could it be? Maybe. Proverbs chapter 13. We're not done with it yet. Let's just keep looking at it. You know what Saul did over in 1 Samuel? It'll start back around 10 or so. He tells Samuel tells him to wait. He don't wait. He moves ahead. Samuel comes in there and gets on his dingbat and gets on him pretty good and tells him don't do it again. By the time he gets to 1 Samuel 15, he does the same thing all over again. Well, preacher, I was going to wait on you, but I just couldn't wait, and I figured anybody could do what you do. And I figured if you weren't here, we'll just take it into our own hands. I mean, after all, anybody can offer a sacrifice, and anybody can do this and that and the other. And Samuel said, well, why didn't you wait, Saul? Well, I mean, because we're in a hurry. We got things to do, place to go, people to see. What's your hurry, Saul? Saul's problem was pride. Pride always gets ahead of God. Pride's always thinking, I know how to do things better. Pride always says, well, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, you know what happened to them? They went down because of their pride. The insurrection came because of their pride. Well, Moses, you take too much upon you. Who do you think you are? And I don't know who Paul appointed you to be chief cook and bottle washer too. And your brother Aaron, that's just nepotism. And your sister Miriam, I don't appreciate that at all. I mean, we're the same as you. We're all in here together. You say, what got them in trouble? Their pride. They thought of themselves more than God thought of them. Listen, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God. That means God's the one that promotes you. And if God don't promote you, you don't want the promotion. If you have to promote yourself, you say, what happened to them? They went down, 250 that appertained to them, and then 1,700 we talked about on Wednesday went down. You say, why? Because we know how it ought to be. Well, if God's God, do you think He knows how to handle it? I think He does.
Amen.
Don't throw up yet. Proverbs chapter number 13. Look, if you will, please, in verse number, 10. That's it. That's the one we've been quoting. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. In other words, if you'll sit and listen to somebody when they're trying to talk to you and tell you that, listen, man, you need to back off and slow down and you're fighting over something that doesn't make a difference, why don't you back off? The Lord says there's wisdom in listening to what somebody's got to tell you. But if not, you know what pride will do? It'll just blast right on through. Because pride's going to have its way. Pride's always desperate for attention. That was Saul's problem. David goes out there and takes a rock and a rag, I guess, or a sling or whatever you want to call it, and he kills the giant, cuts his head off. The whole nation of Israel takes off and puts the Philistines to flight, if you remember the passage there. And in a short period of time, David comes out, his group comes out with a hit record, and it has something to do with the folks singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000s. And when David heard that, or Saul heard that, you know what he did? He got mad, and from that day forward, he sought to kill David. Now, shouldn't he have been glad the giant was dead? And who cares if the Four Seasons or the Four Tops or the Shangri-Las or whoever it is that's singing the song? It doesn't say. It just says a bunch of women are singing, whoever they are. It wasn't rappers, I'm sure of that. And I'm sure it wasn't country music. Blake Shelton or something. Is that woman in Tennessee still around? That Dolly Parton, is she still around? What Dolly Parton singing? I don't know even who the new ones are. But at any rate, the women are singing because they're grateful. You know what? Saul's heart's lifted up in pride. Within a short period of time, you know what he does because of his pride? He seeks to kill David. David's his enemy. You say, why? Somebody recognized him and didn't recognize Saul, or recognized David as a little bit better than Saul. Well, you should have been thinking, well, Saul, you did pretty good to let David go out there and fight, so what's the big deal? The giant's dead. The Philistines are back where they're supposed to be. Praise the Lord, he gave you some good men. No, he eyed David from that day forward and tried to kill him. You say, why? Pride. By the time you get to 1 Samuel 15, you know what he says? Well, I can't believe every time I come around here, Samuel's getting all the attention. Samuel has to be the one to offer the sacrifice. Samuel has to be the one to say the blessing, say the prayer over the dinner. Samuel has to be the one before we can do anything. Samuel has to come in here and show up so we can worship God. Well, I figure I can be a Samuel. I can be a Saul. I'm a king. Have you ever read Job 41? Job 41 is Leviathan. That's a picture of the devil that's there, sure as I'm standing here. He is a king over all the children of pride. You know what happened to Uzziah? Uzziah comes in there. He walks into the church house, and there's 70 preachers in there. And they say, hey, king, how you doing? It's good to see you. He said, fine, get out of my way. Said, well, what do you mean, get out of your way, king? Well, I'm coming in here to offer incense before the Lord. I don't know who you people think you are. I can be a priest just like you. I mean, I'm a great king. I've been out here and I've done all kind of things for this nation, and I've done all kind of things to set up in battlements and pickets and stuff where nobody can get us, and your nation is prosperous. I mean, look at all that I've done. And the way I see it is that I can do what you do if I can be a king. And the preachers say, well, king, listen, let's just do this. We'll admit you probably could, but God didn't tell you to do that. So how about you stick to being a king, and we'll submit to you, but when it comes to this right here, why don't you just leave that to us? You got enough on your plate. Wouldn't you agree? The plate's kind of full, right? Let's just back it off right here. You know what he said? Nothing doing, buddy. Get out of my way. And then the priest gets him one more warning and then says, king, let me tell you something. He said, I'm the king. You're not telling me nothing. And about that time, the light comes down, probably like a lightning bolt, and hits him right where that hat of that priest would be sitting right there, and hits him right in the head and strikes him with leprosy. You know what happens to that king? He's put out of the temple, and he goes over there, and he's never allowed back in the city. He dies outside the city, out of fellowship with God, and he never gets right over it. You say, why? Pride. I don't know who you think you are to tell me. That's pride talking. Who you think you are to tell me? I wish I had a nickel for every person that I've seen under conviction by the Holy Ghost and trying to get them to get saved, and watch that pride rise up there and say, maybe tomorrow. Not today. I don't need it. I've used the illustration at least a dozen times in 25 or so years here. Fellow sitting here where Brother Brad and Miss Debbie, fellow sitting on the second row. True story. It's told as a true story. A woman finally got her husband to come. He sat there swelled up like a toad frog, and the preacher fished all, just kept fishing all day trying to get the guy saved. And they get ready to stand up there to give the invitation. They start singing Just As I Am without one plea, and that guy grabs his chest and grits his teeth and falls out in the aisle, and he's down there flopping around on the floor, and the preacher runs down there, the music stops, and he said, sir, this may be your last opportunity. Won't you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior in case this is your last time? And through gritted teeth, that guy says, I'm a very proud man. You say, with what happened? Well, that he went to hell. Boy, pride will keep somebody from getting saved, but pride will keep a Christian from being in fellowship. Pride's the reason we have problems in churches. Well, I just believe I'm right about it. Okay, well, ma'am, we don't believe in speaking in tongues here. Well, I just think, okay, ma'am, I understand you have a right to your opinion, but we don't believe that way here. Well, the way I see it is, okay, ma'am. Now, here's what you're thinking. Well, then, preacher, why don't you back down? No, there's some things have nothing to do with pride at all. That's a doctrinal issue. You don't back off of that. But you know what will keep her from accepting the truth? Pride. No way I'm wrong. I'm positive I'm right. Okay. Well, then go where they practice speaking in tongues. But it doesn't need to be here. And that goes for anybody that comes in with a doctrine that's different than the way we teach. Well, okay, then go somewhere that, you know, teaches it that way, or teach it to yourself in the mirror. You know what pride says? I have a right to my opinion. Not according to the Bible. All your opinions are kind of like armpits.
Yeah.
Everybody has at least a couple of them, and both of them stink one time or another. Yeah, yours too. Not mine. I perspire. Look in verse number 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Make it 17. 16, 17. That desperation for appreciation and being recognized and all that kind of stuff, that's one of the kind of things that you see show up on a regular basis. That neglecting other people because they're not in line with what you want to get done. You just, you know, get cliquish and clannish and, you know, only people in your vein, and then you just ignore other people. That's pride. You're too good for them. 16, 18. Look, if you will. Pride goeth before destruction. 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction. If the highway of the upright is to depart from evil, shouldn't we depart from pride? You've got to do your own investigation, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you're proud or not. I know that if you have some of the attributes of some of the things that I pointed out, I might suggest to you that it may exist in you. Are you touchy? Easily offended? Got to have it your way? Just got to make your point. Looking for recognition? Don't feel appreciated, underappreciated, that kind of thing? Where is that? It resides in pride. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're really, really good at practicing on those outer sins. This is what pride does that everybody can see. Pride is always interested of what everybody, what we think everybody thinks of us on the outside. Pride is like, I take care of my appearance, I take care of my smoking and drinking and cussing and the places I go and the things I do. I mean, pride is spit and polished on the outside because it's interested only in what people see. It's about reputation. God says pride comes from inside. On the outside, he says, you're just beautiful as a whited sepulcher. You look like a mausoleum out there, but inside you stink like a dead man's bones. Pride, that's what that is. Pride says, I'm going to have my way, whether you like it or not. That's pride. See, no, it's just arrogancy. No, the root is pride. I'm not talking about the symptoms, that you're symptomatic. Your pride is the root cause of about 90% of the sin you commit. You deserve something. And other people don't recognize you, so you find a way to get the recognition. That has to do with pride. And it happens in our churches. We get real proud of our appearance. We get real proud of all the things we don't participate in. Truth is it's really just a prejudice on our part because we're more comfortable around people that are like us. But pride, to deal with pride, you got to deal on the inside. And if you're sitting there saying, well, preacher, you're the same as we are, I agree. I'm not saying I'm not, but somebody's got to say it to you. And if you're offended by it, maybe the possibility exists. Maybe you might be guilty of it. I would say this. I dare say nobody has not been guilty of it at some point in time in their life. Let's go to, I hadn't given you 16. Pride goeth 18 before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Being humble is a decision. It doesn't just happen.
Good.
It's not U-M-B-L-E like we said the other day. Humble. Humble. Something has to come out before you can be humble. Humble is a decision you make. When you have the opportunity to get the recognition, you see? Look in verse number 5. Make it 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Are you proud? Here's a lady. How does this make you feel, ma'am? You run into somebody, and their whole seems like their house is in order, and their life is in order, and they got everything going, and everybody recognizes them, and everybody appreciates them, and everybody, but everybody doesn't know them like you know them. And you can see right through that farce. You know what they really are. They're just a put-on. They're just a cartoon act. They're just got on their little Halloween mask. How come it trips your trigger? Why is that bothering you? What difference does it make how she's acting, and what job is it of yours to make sure everybody else sees in them what you see in them?
Right.
How does it make you feel? You get a lady that lives next door to you, and she's up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and before everybody else is up, she runs 5 miles, you know, and she gets through running her 5 miles, comes in, cooks and takes the kids to breakfast, makes a whole bunch of cupcakes and stuff like that, comes in, her house is always perfectly kept, and looks like she stepped out of Vogue magazine or something on a regular basis. She's all the time wearing clothes that are tight-fitting and things like that, and trying to show off the fact that, you know, age hasn't caught up with her and all that stuff, or she's got a fast metabolism. How's that make you feel, ma'am? Why would that cause indignation on your part? You're proud. God didn't make you that way. You're not in competition with the lady. It's not your job to knock her or whatever it may be. Maybe she's more disciplined, maybe not. Maybe it's just hormones. Who knows what it is? The issue is, what does it do for you? You're the problem. She's not the problem. Is this too deep for you? Is being too terse for you? Is you kind of... How come that is? You see a guy, he walks in, and all of a sudden, you know, he looks like the stinking Arnold Schwarzenegger did back in the days or something like that, and he comes walking in the door. It's like, well, you know, it's just his genetics and everything like that, and I don't know why he has to come in here and wear one of them big body shirts and things. I don't know. What's the matter, buddy? Just admit it, you're a has-been. Get over yourself. You can't do what you used to could do. You know, I'd squat 400 in your stinking dreams. You might have 40 years ago. But what is it that rises up in you when some young buck comes in and all of a sudden they're able to do stuff you never were able to do even in your best day? What is it about you that makes you want to whittle them down to size? You want me to tell you what it is? It's pride. It's pride. Well, nobody was around to appreciate me when I was like that. Nobody was around. Nobody gave me any accolades. They need to come up the hard way like I did. They're just full of pride, just showing off. I bet you if we went back and found some pictures, you'd probably find some pictures of you with some wife beater shirts on. Some of you probably had on some gym shorts so you could show your fancy legs off. You know, little skinny biker shorts so you can show off all your... you know, your cuts and stuff. That's disgusting to think about. But I know Christians all the time riding around, you know, got on spandex. That stuff went out in the 80s, man. You know, what? Hey, wetsuits are for swimming in the ocean. It's not for out here where everybody... What is that? Well, you're trying to run around naked. You've got something less than a millimeter thick. What's your... That's pride. I don't care what you call it. That's pride. You're showing off your physique. That's for your wife, buddy.
Amen.
Don't make the rest of us puke.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of physical condition you're in.
Sure.
You're taking credit for something God did.
That's right.
God did that. You didn't do that. Well, no, I trained every day and I ran and I worked out and I ate properly and I did that. God gave you the discipline to do it. You better watch it, devil.
Amen.
You better watch it, devil.
Amen.
You get a promotion at work, you know what you better say? Appreciate it, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
You better not be running around, well, I've applied myself. That's that World War II generation. And I hate to say it, that stuff wears me out. You would think that you would have won the war. You could have won any war you were in because of the World War II generation. Now, you're a generation just ahead of me, but let me just tell you something. It was God's will that you won that war. You'd have got your behind stomped in the ground.
Right.
They'd have made a mud hole out of you and then run it in there back and forth until it ran dry.
Amen.
That's God that did that. That wasn't your generation that did that. The great generation. Because God lets you be. I don't back up from that at all. I appreciate the World War II vets. I'm glad that I'm not speaking German and all that other stuff. I'm not. I know Memorial Day's coming up, and I appreciate it. Appreciate Vietnam. I appreciate Iran, Iraq, Korea, every cotton picking war ever been fought. Sure. Thank you, and I appreciate it. But let me just say, if you survived it, God did it.
Right.
And if your nation won, God did it. God controls the nations. Not because, well, I joined when I was 17, and because of my commitment, why, it turned the tide of the war. You are smoking crack before they even knew what crack was.
Amen.
Eating too many mushrooms or something, or whatever they had in your day. Or sucking too many suds, one. That stuff wears me out. I've heard that building up this Memorial Day coming up. Oh, why don't you talk about your veterans from Iran and Iraq right now? Why are you going all the way back to World War II? Oh, I forgot. That was the last one you won. You got your head handed to you in Korea. You got your head handed to you in Vietnam. You got your head handed to you, in spite of what you want to say, in both conflicts in Iraq. You didn't win that. You call that winning? You hadn't been out of there in no time. They're already bowing the cotton picking place up again.
Sure.
You think you're going to stop that? I'm so proud of the... I'm proud to be an American. But at least I know I can be a fan. What's the matter? Did that upset you? Oh, what's the matter? Did that upset you? Look at you. You're like, oh, he did not. That just went out over the internet. That's pride in an abomination. And I don't care what you think of that. You're taking pride in the wrong things. That is an abomination. And I want to make sure there is a distinct line where people know I think that's a misappropriation of pride.
Preacher, you know, we're worried about you saying stuff like that. Well, God can handle it or He can't, one or the other. Proverbs chapter 29. Lee Greenwood, one more time. Proud to be an American. Fireworks going off everywhere. It's a facade. Your nation's proud about the wrong things.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
It's wrong. I'll just tell you now, it's wrong. And I'm sorry if I offended, well, I apologize if my remarks offended you, but I do not apologize for offending you if you think that it is right to be proud about things God calls an abomination. And that goes for your fornication and shacking up too. Proverbs 29. Let's don't leave anybody out. Verse 22, an angry man, 29, 22, an angry man stirreth up strife. Now, that's either true or it's not. Somebody stirring up strife, and you're angry about something. And a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Oh, are you kidding me? Isn't that what he just said? You know what he just said to you right there? He said, pride will eventually bring you down. But if you're willing to be humble, look what you wind up getting out of it. Honor. Your honor may not come on this side of eternity. It may be up there. But one thing we know, ladies and gentlemen, the more sanctified you are, the more close to God you are, the less proud you are. You can't get your head lifted up too high. The old preacher used to say this, a warrior, a real warrior, always walks best with his head bowed. In war, he would say, make sure you don't walk with your head held too high, because if the enemy is low on ammunition, they'll take you out first. Pretty good statement. You know what happens as Christians? We got our heads a little too high. And we're proud of something only God could do, and that's save us by grace and keep us eternally secure. And we always want everybody else to see all the abominations that they do on the outside, but we're unwilling to address the sin of pride in our own lives. Amen.